The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Middle of the week, lot going on. World Series Game 6 tonight. Suns season opener tonight on the show today. Eddie Johnson's going to be with us, Suns TV analyst, good friend of the show, talking about tonight's opener against Portland. And what can you really expect from Jeff Hornacek in his first year? What about tanking games? Are the Suns looking at that? Is there leadership on this team? Could they be a team that only wins 20 games? Eddie Johnson will be with us to talk about the Suns opener. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. It is Fantasy Football Wednesday. A lot of waiver moves, guys. This is going to be a crucial segment for you with Michael Fabiano. You don't want to screw up your team. And also, I want to talk to Michael. The Pro Bowl this year is going to be fantasy football style. And Michael is right in the middle of all that. I'll explain with Michael Fabiano coming up at the bottom of the hour. Herb Sendek scheduled to join us on today's show. ASU head basketball coach, start of the hoop season. They open a week from Friday at home. And I want to talk to Herb a little bit about James Harden. Now, Herb, did he see the potential of James Harden when he was at Arizona State to now, where James Harden, the rating among general managers, is the best shooting guard in the entire NBA? He passed Kobe Bryant. Did Herb Sendek know it, see it at the time? We'll talk some other things with Herb Sendek. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, joins us now. Our Facebook question of the day is we're off and running. Herb.
Hi, Brad. Hi. As you mentioned, tonight is the regular season opener for your Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Low expectations going in the season. I think that's safe to say.
Most people. Very high expectations, because I want them to lose so much that they have the number one overall pick.
It's a good way of putting
high.
It's a good way of putting it.
I want losses everywhere. That's all I want. So
today's Facebook question of the day, which you can find at facebook.com/sports360az, is there anything to be excited about for the 2013-2014 Suns?
I mean, come on. Of course
there is. Anything?
Yes.
What is it?
I am so excited that they're going to go 8-74. I am so excited that we're going to do the Andrew Wiggins update every day. The kid last night at Kansas had a throwdown of throwdowns. I am so excited that we're finally going to see the end of Markieff Morris here in Phoenix at some point this season. Another first-round disaster by the organization.
I'm excited to watch Eric Bledsoe because I've heard a lot about him. I haven't got a lot of chances to see him, and I just want to see what this kid's all about because he's going to be up for making a bunch of money if everything goes his way.
All right, head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Like our page, share your input. That's facebook.com/sports360az.com. Let's get you caught up on what is on my mind in the world of sports, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. The middle of the week, and you're thinking, I can't get up there today. Well, you could. But you could certainly get up there this Friday and Saturday and enjoy the cool pines, enjoy pulling down the slots, enjoy the big winnings, the great food, and the fun. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. And also, the time's running out on the biggest, baddest brown fishing tournament. That's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. Check it out at Honda.com. So tonight I have to choose between watching the Cardinals-Red Sox or going to the Suns game against Portland. I'm leaning right now to staying in and watching the Cardinals and Red Sox. I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen down at the Suns game tonight. I can flip back and forth just as easily as going down there to watch them getting their heads kicked in. And in fact, if there are any games where they're competitive this season, I'm going to be disappointed. They need to go 8-74. They've torn the thing all the way down to the ground. There's no question. They know they're going to blow. That's a good slogan. They know. We know we're going to blow. We know we're going to blow. Put that on shirts and sell them. You'll sell hundreds of thousands of those.
Nothing really rhymes with Wiggins. Like, you can't do, like, suck for luck or any of the things like that. Yeah, I know.
I think I've got something. I was writing this down here. Riggin' for Wiggins. Riggin' for Wiggins. We're rigging games. It's the way it is.
That's not bad.
Here's Charles Barkley with me earlier on Jeff Hornacek's first season as head coach. I am intrigued by this.
Well, it's not fair to Jeff. I like Jeff. You know, I really like Jeff a lot as a person. But listen, the Suns are a good team, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't be because of coaching. You bring Phil Jackson to here, they still going to stink.
Yeah. So there you go. We will watch Jeff Hornacek this season. We will watch Ryan McDonough this season. So far, the general manager of the team has been able to navigate through bad contracts, bad players, bad deals. We'll talk with Eddie Johnson about this in a couple of minutes. So far, the general manager has shown me quite a bit. As the season progresses, okay, let's just talk leadership. Who's the leader on this team right now? You'd have to say it's Channing Frye, but is Channing Frye a guy that's going to throw people into a locker? No, he's not. Is Channing Frye basically going through, I won't say the motions, is he putting his time in on the floor simply to say, okay, by January 15th, I'm going to get traded. And so I have to make sure that I prove to people that, A, I don't have a heart ailment any longer, and B, that I can be of value to some team down the stretch. My guy, Michael Beasley, last night, my guy, biggest stiff that I've seen in a Suns uniform probably ever, sitting there on the Miami Heat bench last night, just chilling, just laying out, saying, I've got it good. I was a pothead in Phoenix. I got stoned and got paid a ton of cash to be high and to do nothing. And now I land with an NBA championship team and I can still do nothing. I can just roll right through it. They were able to navigate through Michael Beasley. Let's get him out of here. So that is tonight. Suns already have 4 first-round draft picks. I'd like to see it at 5 or 6 by the time we get through this season. On the baseball front, so tonight the Red Sox, and we'll talk with Eddie Johnson here in a couple of minutes about the Suns season. Michael Fabiano, NFL Fantasy Football, one of our most popular segments. He's with us at the bottom of the hour. The Red Sox are up 3-2 in the series. The average ticket price for Game 6 tonight is $1,860.
It's ridiculous.
How much would you pay, E?
A few hundred bucks.
Did you pay? No, you wouldn't have paid for 2001, the World Series. You had a credential.
I didn't go to a game.
You didn't go to a game?
Nope.
You didn't go to one of the Diamondback games? Are you kidding?
No, I was a studio monkey back then.
That's true. What are you now? Average ticket price for Game 6.
Just minus the studio part?
Was $1,860, or is tonight. Somebody on StubHub paid $24,000 for a pair of the best seats tonight. I have no problem with that because they probably aren't getting to the game by hitchhiking or taking public transportation. They probably are being flown in on an exclusive private jet and a big car that can pick them up. That's fine. But when you see that bleacher seats are selling for $300 tonight, because the last time the Red Sox won a World Series at home was 1918. So the buildup for tonight is tremendous. It is just tremendous. Here is John Lackey. He will be on the mound tonight. He, of course, was injured when he came over to Boston. Has been terrific. He's on the mound tonight for the Red Sox.
Definitely confident. I mean, we've played pretty good here this season, and it's a place that the atmosphere is going to be great. I mean, the fans are going to be going crazy, but you still got to focus on the task at hand and executing and you know, just still playing baseball.
Again, Lackey against Michael Wacha. That is tonight with those tickets going for just crazy dollars. I had some people that sent me a note on the Arizona Cardinals and Flagstaff that I want to get to before the show is done. Did you realize that Flagstaff actually did better financially on the tax end this year in August by not having the Cardinals there in Flagstaff? And I'll have some details on that as the show progresses along. There's a business side that's coming to the NFL. The Chicago Bears today announced that they are going to develop their own radio station. Their own radio station. So why is this? Well, and this is a business thing. I understand. It's what I'm doing. Okay? Control your own content. Partner with stations. But you can then go sell it and keep it all for yourself. But more importantly, this is where it comes into play for you fans. More importantly, you can completely 100% control the messaging that comes out of your own radio station. You will never, ever hear people question what's going on with the organization. This is coming from the Bears. And the last time I checked, the Bears have been awful for a long time. They've made some good moves, but for the most part, they've not been good. And so the Bears are preparing to unleash their own HD radio station, develop a station, team-controlled programming, which will be, hey, we're the Cardinals, and even though Ken Whisenhunt is here and we've lost eight in a row, everything's great, and here's why you should come watch our slop product. But they're never going to say slop. They'll be able to take all the money, and this is where it's going to go with all these sports franchises. It's big right now with like the MLB Network and the NFL Network. Eventually, it'll trickle down, and eventually, organizations will say, we can tell fans anything because we're the official station. It's already happening with websites. It already is. I kind of like that story. On the bull front, so I made some calls, talked to people. Baylor-Fresno State, E, in the Fiesta Bowl, looking more and more like Baylor-Fresno State. I actually would watch that game. It's got a little bit of Boise State about it. You know, when people made fun of Boise State, well, now Boise State's a hot commodity. That wouldn't be the worst bowl game ever. It might be in terms of people watching it on television, but it wouldn't be the worst ever. Right now, the bowl projections have Arizona State playing in El Paso and playing Miami of Florida. Do you remember earlier this week we were talking about how I'd love to see ASU play Miami? If that's the Sun Bowl matchup, I think that would be terrific. Can't handle going to El Paso. Would be very fun. There's a little country bar down there that I learned the art of when you lose your voice as a broadcaster, that you need the lady behind the bar who's pushing three bills, who can make you up a concoction to kill whatever it is that's in your throat. And that three-bill lady to this day has been one of my lifesavers. I had to do a show down there. I had nothing. I was like in my 20s. Big lady comes up. I'm going to make you something. She made me something, all right. It's my only good El Paso story. There's nothing else there. Eddie Johnson joins us on the other side. So we'll talk with EJ about the Sun season starting tonight. How'd Derrick Rose look to him last night? Tanking games, the leadership side, what's he looking for this season? Because we all know they're not going to be a team in the finals. Eddie Johnson, at the bottom of the hour, NFL Network's Michael Fabiano, who joins us every week. The credibility of the NFL Network and NFL.com with Sports 360 AZ, that's a winning combination. And then Herb Sendek, ASU head basketball coach. I'm Brad Sussman. It is the opening night for the Phoenix Suns. Brad Sussmat with you on Sports 360 AZ and, of course, White Mountain Radio on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Eddie Johnson joins us now for a couple of minutes. New logo, new jerseys, new coach, new GM. And for EJ, are you excited for tonight and the start of this season, knowing full well it's big-time rebuilding, EJ?
Well, you know, you're always excited for a new season. And, you know, I think, right there, you even though people prognosticate and say it's going to turn out to be this way or that way, I think, you know, you still go into every season hoping for the best, hoping for a miracle, hoping somebody can just jump out of their skin and give you a performance that was unexpected. And we see that every year. And this Suns team, as you just stated, extremely new, right? Yeah. From front office on down. And so we don't know. We don't know, but we do know they're young, right? We do know Jeff Hornacek, this is his first year coach. And then so because of that, you know it's going to be some tough sailing at times. But it still can culminate into something extremely positive. And ignite the future is the slogan that, you know, we're using now. And it's really just to prepare fans for the future and to see what we have. The draft picks that we've compiled, the young players that we have bought into the system, and to see if this thing can grow into something that they've seen before. You know, they've seen the Suns team down before. And one transaction or two will lift them up, right? We saw it in 89 when I played.
Right.
You know, when we brought in Kevin Johnson, Ty Corbin, Mark West. And then the following year, signed Tom Chambers to a free agent contract and drafted Dan Marley and Tim Perry and Andrew Lane. And we won 55 games after winning 28 the year before. And then we saw it when the Suns struggled, and all of a sudden they go out and they sign Steve Nash, bring him back, acquire Joe Johnson, draft Amari Stoudemire,
to go along with Sean Marion, and all of a sudden that team's winning 55 plus games. So it can be done. This city has seen it. I think fans just want to know if this is the right direction, and I tend to believe it is. I think, you know, anytime you can compile draft picks like the Suns have, gives you an opportunity to go a number of ways. You know, you can get one good player out of that draft pick, and then you can move some draft picks to get a good, solid veteran.
Right.
And then you have enough money to go out and spend and get you a free agent. So, you know, it's, the setup is there. It's clear. And now, you know, it's just really getting an opportunity to get it done.
I like what's going on here. I really do. And I remind fans that Kevin Durant went through a 2-30 season before they got it turned around in Oklahoma City, and that you've got to be really bad before you get really good. But you can get good in a hurry as long as you draft right and make the right moves. Speaking of moves, what move did you like or do you like the most on the roster that the team has done in the offseason?
Well, I'm one of those guys, and then probably, Brad, because I played.
Yeah.
You know, I tend not to, prognosticate and jump ahead because I think every NBA player deserves to be an NBA player.
Okay.
And I think any NBA player in the right system, the right opportunity, the right coach can excel because they've done it their whole life. And so a lot of times what I do is just try to reserve judgment and just see. I mean, obviously, you know, Eric Bledsoe is a guy that jumps out at everybody because he was visible. He played behind Chris Paul. And, you know, he showed some ability that stood out. And more a lot on the defensive end. And so we want to see. We want to see how he can perform in the bright lights, right? First page of the scout report. You know, teams trying to stop him every night. How's he going to perform? And so that's obviously going to stick out. And I think, you know, Markieff Morris has to finally show that he can be a solid NBA player.
Yep.
I think the period of being patient and wondering is over. He's been in the league now a couple of years. Now he's got to show it. So those two guys probably would stick out more than any. Goran Dragic, you know what you're going to get from him. You know, he's a solid player. He plays hard all the time. He's extremely skilled. And I don't expect anything but a good season from Goran Dragic. So I guess those two guys will stick out more than anything.
Eddie Johnson with us for a couple of minutes. Suns analyst tonight, Fox Sports Arizona. It'll be the Suns and Portland Trailblazers to start out the season. EJ, do you have a read on this team in terms of chemistry and locker room, guys? People talk about, well, it takes time to build chemistry and all that stuff, but I'm just talking locker room. You think this is going to be a good locker room group?
Well, it's a young team, so it all depends on leadership, you know, who steps up. Obviously, they just traded Gortat, so he was another older veteran that they had. And so now I think Channing Frye is the oldest player on the team. Channing is he's not a vocal guy. And so, but can he do it? You know, he's the obvious choice to stand up and do it. P.J. Tucker obviously has those type of amenities to his personality where he could be a very good leader. But, you know, when you're playing a lot of minutes and you're shooting all the balls, a lot of times it falls to those types of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Bledsoe and Goran Dragic, although young, you know, they're going to have to show some leadership. They're going to have to show some leadership abilities, and that'll be interesting to see.
Is that important on this group, or is that stuff overrated, in your opinion, when you have a young team as young as this one is? To me, it feels like you've got to have some people that show them the way. Or is that overrated in this day and age?
Say it again, Brad. I'm sorry.
Is that overrated in this day and age, EJ, the leadership thing? I mean, I remember when the Suns said, "Well, we've got to keep Steve and we've got to keep Grant here because the fans love them and they show the right example of how to play the game." Is that stuff overrated now?
No, it's not.
And I would agree with you on that.
No, it's not overrated. The leadership is needed. Anytime you bring 12 individuals together that are strong-minded, that have gotten to a level of professional sports that they have, it wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're the 12th man. It wasn't easy. You know, you're one of, 400 players in the world that happen to be on the NBA roster. So, no, leadership is very important, and it goes past the coach. You know, leadership in the locker room makes things so much easier for the coach. I mean, if you look at the successful teams now around the league, it's pretty obvious. You know, you look at Miami, right? Two-time champion. They've gone to the NBA Finals 3 years in a row. The reason why they excel and the reason why they're consistent is because they have tremendous leadership. And it comes from their top players. It starts with LeBron and Wade, and it trickles its way on down. And then it goes down to guys that have obviously been proven in Battier and Ray Allen. So,
yep.
You know, when it makes Eric Spoelstra's job so much easier. And that's what Jeff Hornacek would love to obviously get to, as any coach. Because when you have quality guys in your locker room, then you can have a malcontent. And he'll be fine. And I think we'll see that this year in Miami with Beasley. I'm telling you, he didn't play last night. But his body language on the bench was totally different than what it was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're not having it. They're not having it. And it's almost like, you know, his dad was in the room with him, you know. So he's growing up, you know, you can act crazy around your friends and everybody else, but then as soon as dad walks in, you straighten up. You know? And that's sort of what Beasley is encountering because of strong leadership. And then that's something the Suns will have to build toward, no doubt about it here. And I think when you do it, you have success. And the successful teams that I played on here, we had leadership. I mean, you know, it was Kevin Johnson, it was Tom, it was myself, Ty Corbin, Jeff Hornacek, Dan Marley, even though he was young, he led by his effort. And so that's the type of thing that has to be built here. And I think that's the challenge for anybody.
Couple of the questions I'll let you go. Tanking games, okay, this Riggin for Wiggins deal that's out there with the kid from Kansas. Are you into tanking games? I mean, that's been a part of the sport, I think, for certain organizations through the years. I can't prove it. It's just I look at rosters and say it only makes sense.
Well, you know, I can't really go to that word because I never try to get in the skin of anybody. I try to observe them, but you know, I know how tough it is to be in a position where you look at the history of this league and you know you don't win with young teams.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. You know, name me a team that's ever won an NBA championship that was young. It doesn't happen. You know, name me a team that's ever won an NBA championship that didn't have at least two or three megastars on it. You know, it's only two occurrences, I think, in the history of this league where a superstar has put his team on his back and won a championship, okay? Hakeem Olajuwon did it back-to-back when Jordan was taking a break from basketball. And then Dirk Nowitzki did it a couple years ago. Okay, that's it. I can't remember any other team that was able to do it. And so because of that, now you look at the landscape, very young team, guys pretty much getting out of college, barely out of high school.
Yep.
Right? A lot of trades, a lot of change. I don't know if you call that tanking. I think you call that, you know, going to the basement and then trying to build your way out of it because you were stuck in the middle and it wasn't getting any better.
Yeah.
And so that's just the way I look at it. And, you know, if you tell me at the end of the year, if a team knows that they, you know, before the lottery, if they knew that they lost 6-7 in a row and they had a chance to get Duncan like San Antonio did, then yeah, they tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, okay.
Yeah, let's call it as we see it.
But who wouldn't?
Right,
if
absolutely.
If you got Tim Duncan sitting there, who wouldn't?
Right. No, that's fine. Last question. I got about a minute here. So Derrick Rose takes the floor last night. What did you think of Rose? And are the Bulls really a team, or is it Indiana that can overtake Miami in the East?
So it didn't surprise me last night with Rose. I mean, what a tough matchup to face the first night you're back after missing about 553 days.
Yeah.
And played arguably one of the best defensive teams we've ever seen. So it was a nightmare for him. But the key thing for him is, you know, he looked healthy. I think that's what he walks away from that game with. I honestly don't even think, you know, yeah, he wanted to win, but I think his biggest fear was really walking away from that game healthy.
Right.
And seeing if he woke up this morning and he wasn't sore. And he wasn't, and his knee wasn't swollen. I think that's the key because it's an 82-game marathon. But the Bulls, as I've always said, I love Derrick Rose, and trust me, I mean, and when I say this, I really do. But I think, to the point, I think some people have him where I feel he's overrated because they have him so high. Because I don't think he's a prototype point guard. And what I mean by that, he doesn't make it easy for his teammates to score. And against a great defense, they'll never beat the Heat because they just don't have the ability to get open shots. I think, you know, the Indiana Pacers are a problem because of Hibbert. But if Greg Oden can give them 10, 12 minutes a game in the playoffs, I think they could sweep the Pacers if it ever came to them. I think Brooklyn is really the only team, I think, that will give them problems because of the veteran tenacity that's on that team and the fact that they can match up with Miami going small. And I think that's going to be the issue for Miami as we get through this year. I think we'll see Brooklyn and a team like the Clippers over here in the West. And if Oklahoma City can get healthy with Westbrook, those are the types of teams that can give Miami problems. Everybody says, well, the way to get them is to go big. But they beat everybody the last 2 years when they went big.
No, you're right.
It was difficult, but they beat them.
Sure. I got to let you go off that. I'll see you tonight at the arena. Thanks for the visit.
All right, take care.
Eddie Johnson with us for a couple of minutes. Always good to catch up with EJ. As the Suns tonight open up against the Portland Trail Blazers in full rebuilding mode. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com on White Mountain Radio. Always good to be on White Mountain Radio. The big fans up there that follow what's going on in the Arizona sports scene. And I'm on Twitter as well at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T.
Giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sussmat.
Let's talk fantasy football. Michael Fabiano here with us. It is Wednesday, NFL Network, NFL.com with Brad Sussmat. And right off the top, I want to ask you about NFL.com and your 2013 Pro Bowl. I know we're at the midpoint of the season, but fans, Michael, may not be aware of the fantasy-style draft that's going to happen this year. You put up a cool little story. Let's just start there for a second and talk about the Pro Bowl in fantasy football.
Yeah, so basically what's going to happen is Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice are going to be the team captains, and there's no AFC-NFC. It's all players are in the pool. And so what's going to happen is Jerry and Deion, along with some lucky contest winners, will be picking the teams that will compete in the Pro Bowl this season. So it's a great way to incorporate the NFL and fantasy football even more. So what we did on the site yesterday was we put together a quick three-round mock draft. We didn't put offensive linemen in there. We basically just did offensive skill position players, IDPs, individual defensive players, and based on the number of fantasy points they've averaged so far this season, we came up with a mock draft. And, of course, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees were the first couple of players come off the board. And it was a one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex, tight end, kicker, linebacker, defensive lineman, and defensive back draft. And if you've never played in an IDP league before, then you probably don't know about those. But we basically did it like an IDP league where we are going to draft defenders because those guys are so important in real football terms. And, of course, they will be selected in that Pro Bowl fantasy football draft. I personally can't wait for this. In fact, I am trying to get myself to Hawaii so I can help those guys do the draft.
Attaboy.
And also because it's Hawaii, Brad.
No, I completely understand. You have to be there to consult.
This is what I'm saying.
Right.
This is what I need to do.
Come on.
Exactly.
Deion, Jerry, you're not paying that close attention. I am the Hall of Famer. Thus, get me to Hawaii in a suite, and we'll nail this down for you.
Man. Listen, from your lips to God's ears, because that would be a lot of fun.
give me a couple players that aren't on that list that you did yesterday that you believe in the next before the fantasy season is over could be on that list. Let's say because Manning and Brees are obvious. Okay, is there anybody that's going to make a push there, or running back or wide receiver, that's not there already?
Well, there's certainly some guys. For example, if you look at a guy like Arian Foster, could make a nice push towards the end here because he hasn't had the best start to the season, although we don't know what his status is going to be for this week. It could be a game-time decision, which could be be messy. Eddie Lacy is another guy who has really started to turn it on over the last several weeks. He could be a player that makes a push at some point. Of course, it's going to be hard to overtake Jamal Charles, Knowshon Moreno, Marshawn Lynch, Matt Forte, guys like that, unless there's an injury. Some other players that you could see overtake some of the names right there. DeSean Jackson is a guy. Vincent Jackson, Brandon Marshall could end up overtaking some of these guys. Right now you've got two Denver Bronco wide receivers, Wes Welker and Demaryius Thomas, who are in, and you've got one right on the cusp, which is Eric Decker. How crazy would that be? All three of those guys could end up being in the Pro Bowl this season, and they likely will. I think the biggest surprise of the wide receiver position is Josh Gordon. If you look at Josh Gordon's per-game fantasy point average, he is right there in the top five. He's better than most wide receivers out there. He missed the first two games of the season, remember, because of that suspension.
Right.
Ever since he's come back, I mean, he has been just unbelievable. Another guy, how about Rob Gronkowski? He's back. If he does what Rob Gronkowski has done in the past, he could easily move past potentially Jordan Cameron at the tight end position based on what he can do from here on out.
I'm Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network, NFL.com with Brad Susmat every week. Before we get into individual questions, I've had a ton, just very basic. I have the number one pick in this week's waiver wire. I'm looking at Marvin Jones. I'm looking at Terrence Williams. And I'm looking at Andre Ellington. Those are the types of questions I'm getting. Ellington, yep. Let's talk about Ellington. If you have the number one pick and you need a running back, even on a bye week, do you take Andre Ellington this week?
Well, I would think if you need a running back, sure, because to be quite honest with you, he's not going to be around after this week. Even though they have a bye week, how hard is it to find good running backs right now?
It's impossible.
So, Ellington is a guy who the Cardinals want to get more touches. I don't think he's going to be a featured back. He's not going to turn into Adrian Peterson. The Cardinals are going to continue to use Rashard Mendenhall if he's healthy. But Ellington's proven to be the better back, the more explosive back, the back with more upside. He's the back to own in Arizona. I'll give you two others that people may not be thinking about. One is Andre Brown, who is eligible to come back from the injured reserve list in Week 10. And the Giants' running back position is a mess. I mean, they signed Peyton Hillis and Brandon Jacobs off the street. So Andre Brown comes back and becomes the starter because David Wilson is still hurt. You've got yourself a nice little running back there, maybe a potential flex starter. Another one is Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen's back practicing with the Patriots. He's eligible to come back Week 11. If you pick him up now ahead of everybody else, once his name starts floating out there in fantasy, you're going to potentially get yourself another flex starter. So looking ahead is very important always, but especially in this case where you've got running backs who are coming off of the injured reserve list and can make an impact for your fantasy team.
Steve in Tempe, Andrew Luck or Terrell Pryor this week?
Typically, this would be an easy one. I am going to go here with Terrell Pryor, and this is why. The Philadelphia Eagles defense has been awful against the pass this season, and we all know what TP can do with his feet. The guy's phenomenal. Andrew Luck is still a starting quarterback in fantasy. There's no question about that. But this week is not a good matchup. Playing in Houston against the Texans, Luck is better at home than he's been on the road. He doesn't have Reggie Wayne, of course. TP, I believe, will score more fantasy points than Andrew Luck this week.
Mark and Sholo, and this is an interesting one. He's got to choose between Nick Foles or Case Keenum.
Oof, that's a rough one.
That's rough.
It is rough. I would go with Nick Foles.
He's going to play.
Begrudgingly. The matchup is not as good as you think because you see the Raiders and you think that the defense is awful, but their defense hasn't been bad this year, especially at home. So I would go with Foles, but it's one of those situations where you're really sort of rolling the dice on either of these two players.
A lot of questions about in Seattle now with the Sidney Rice injury and people jumping all over Percy Harvin. Is this the week he plays?
Good question. And if he doesn't, start Golden Tate, who clearly has the trust of Russell Wilson, although a lot of people didn't like his antics on that long touchdown catch that he had against the Rams on Monday night. But the fact of the matter is that if Tate is the guy, he is going to be someone to pick up and potentially start with six teams off. And also keep in mind that Percy Harvin, if he does come back, we don't know if he's going to come back and be limited or see a full complement of snaps. So he's a bit of a risk-reward play. And also, don't forget, the Buccaneers' defense, well, they have Darrelle Revis there. And if they do as they say they're going to do and start using him in man coverage, well, then every Seahawks wide receiver comes with a little bit of risk.
Yeah, no question. Tony in Glendale, I've got Colston. I can get Kenny Stills. Is it time to make that change in New Orleans?
here's what worries me about Kenny Stills. Chasing fantasy points. Great game last week. Great game. He had three catches. He is the new Devery Henderson. He's either going to give you a big game, or he's going to do nothing for you. I would still, as maybe crazy as this sounds, still wait and see with Marcus Colston. There are other wide receivers that I'd rather get, to be honest with you, than a Kenny Stills. Someone like a Marvin Jones. Someone like a Kendall Wright, who I absolutely love this week. But I'd wait on that. I really would. I'd wait on that. Kenny Stills needs to show me consistency. And Colston's been horrible. He's been terrible.
Terrible, yeah.
Terrible this year. But Drew Brees is still his quarterback, and there's still time for Colston to turn things around. I would stick with him at this point.
One other question. So this is from Steve in Phoenix. Number one waiver pick. I need a receiver. I'm looking at Hayward Bay, Marvin Jones, Terrence Williams.
Terrence Williams is the guy. Phenomenal quarterback in Tony Romo, who is on pace to have one of his best statistical seasons in his career. And a lot of people think of Tony Romo in a negative light because of the interception he threw against the Broncos and his struggles when it comes to crunch time. But in fantasy, he's gold. And Terrence Williams has become the number two there behind Dez Bryant at the wide receiver position. I like Marvin Jones. He scored four touchdowns last week, and he scored at least one in each of his last three games. I just don't know that he has the kind of talent and upside, and he definitely doesn't have the quarterback that Terrence Williams has in Dallas in Tony Romo.
That's not going to happen every week either. I mean,
No. It's really a case of, again, chasing fantasy points. That's what people did. Remember when Joe Fauria had three touchdowns for the Lions and people picked him up and played him the next week? I mean, the guy's done nothing. You have to be careful with that. I don't think Marvin Jones is Joe Fauria. Marvin Jones has got some upside, and Marvin Jones has shown consistency scoring a touchdown in three straight games. But if you're chasing Marvin Jones to give you 30 fantasy points again, well, you're going to be disappointed. And with that being said, this is not a good matchup on Thursday night against the Dolphins. They're awful against the run, really good against the pass. Just ask Tom Brady last week.
Last question, and it's I'm combining a bunch of Bears and Packers or just fans of that have players from the Bears and Packers. They play each other Monday night, the injury in Chicago, Bears-Packers players in fantasy football.
Well, Jay Cutler we know is not going to play, but that will not keep me from playing Brandon Marshall. That will not keep me from playing Matt Forte. That will not keep me from playing Martellus Bennett. Would I rather have Cutler than Josh McCown? Of course. But the Packers' pass defense can be had. And those guys are so valuable, especially a guy like Marshall and Forte. Yeah, you play those guys regardless. In Green Bay, Jordy Nelson is a must-start now. We don't know what's going on with James Jones, and that makes him a bit of a risk. Of course, the same goes with Jared Boykin, because if James Jones returns, well, Boykin's targets are going to go down. So those two are a bit of a risk. We know JerMichael Finley's not going to play, which means you're going to see Andrew Corliss. I don't like Corliss enough to start him. He's got a good matchup. The Bears have not been good against tight ends this season, but I just can't start Corliss. There's other tight ends out there like Jordan Reed, for example, who I would rather pick up and play. So you're going to start your Bears studs. Alshon Jeffrey with six teams off, I believe, is still at least a third receiver in fantasy. But again, not having Cutler there is going to hurt a bit.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight. As always, Michael, talk next week.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Michael Fabiano with us for a couple of minutes. This segment of the Brad Sussmatch Show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright. We're coming to the end of October. Are you doing it upright? Guys, I'm going to get in your kitchen here a little bit. Are you driving the vehicle that you're completely, totally comfortable in for the upcoming holiday season? We're just like 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving being here. Are you going to be heading out for Thanksgiving? Are you going to be heading out for Christmas and New Year's? Do you have that truck? Do you have that car? You know, it's coming towards the end of the year, and it's the perfect time. And Santan Ford, that's the place. Great Fords, used vehicles, new vehicles, wide variety, wide selection. Maybe it's an F-150 you need to get into. With the weather changing, you want to get on up to the high country to go play in the snow, go do your skiing, your snowboarding, whatever it may be. Maybe you just need a truck, the F-150, check it out. Maybe you're like me, just need something that you look at and say, I want to get around town with as much driving as I'm doing right now with this company. It's me out and about, and I'm doing it in the Fusion Hybrid. Makes a lot of sense for me. Plenty of headroom, legroom, great gas mileage, great pickup. It's one of those cars, when you go valet park it, you feel good about it. You know what I'm talking about.
the Fusion Hybrid. Stop on in the wide variety, wide selection at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, it is all about you. On the other side, Herb Sendek is going to be with us, Arizona State head basketball coach. We are now turning the page on the sports calendar to the start of college basketball season, ASU. Also, I want to talk to Herb about James Harden. Voted by the general managers of the NBA as the number one shooting guard in the league. Did he ever see that coming when Herb had James at ASU? That and much more on the other side. And now Herb Sendek joins us for a couple of minutes. ASU basketball, the Sun Devils open a week from Friday against UMBC. We were talking earlier, Herb, about better pro than what we saw in college. And a couple people brought up James Harden's name. And I was thinking to myself, you know, when James was here, I kept telling people, appreciate him while you can because he's only going to get better. But I have to wonder, from your view, has James Harden turned out to be a better pro than you thought when you were coaching him?
Well, I think the answer to that would have to be yes, because right now he's arguably the best two guard on the planet.
Yep.
And so even if you did have high expectations and you thought James was going to be an excellent pro, which we did, there's no way that our expectations could ever have been proven to be too high, because he's just climbed so rapidly and still at a very young age is arguably the best shooting guard in the world.
And the general managers of the NBA had their survey last week, and they rated James ahead of Kobe Bryant. I had Charles Barkley on the show earlier this week, and he said he sees that the same way as well. What part of James' game, Herb, did you? I don't want to say didn't see, but he's doing more than you thought he'd be able to do at that level?
Well, obviously, he has turned into a prolific scorer. He's always had a great ability to get to the foul line, which he continues to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's improved his shooting at every step of the process. Obviously, his body has matured and completely transformed from when he first came to college as a young man. But he has an incredible offensive package. He scores the ball. He always makes the right decision, which he did when he played for us. He never shot when he was supposed to pass, and he never passed when he was supposed to shoot.
Hmm. The commercials that he's doing, Herb, on a lighter note, did you see that side of James Harden when he was here?
No question about it. I mean, James has an engaging, charismatic personality.
Yep.
He's quick to smile. He's easy to laugh. He has a tremendous sense of humor, and he never met a stranger. So, you know, James has a warm, engaging, magnetic personality, and you see that coming across in his commercials, and you see it in his everyday life with the way he interacts with people.
It's pretty cool, actually, I have to say, and I've said this on the air and written about it as well, that a kid carrying around his backpack with shorts and a t-shirt, and pretty much the same kid when I've dealt with him, I say kid lovingly, that it really hasn't affected him that I've seen.
Not at all. He really hasn't changed. You know, the only area, you know, probably that's a little bit different is he has to, you know, take precautions to, you know, guard his privacy.
Yep.
Because he has become such an iconic figure so quickly.
Okay, so what hasn't been said or reported or written about Jahi Carson that when you're doing interviews or you read things about him, it's they miss this about him? What hasn't been said or written about Jahi?
Well, it'd probably be hard to come up with something because, you know, there is so much produced about Jahi. But, you know, one thing is he has a very high basketball IQ. He really knows the game. And I think that's something that, you know, if you really study him, you come to really appreciate.
It's because stat lines for him aren't what you need for him to be successful. I've seen him score 32, and I've seen him score 5 or 6. So when people get caught up in points per game and average, is there a stat around him, though, that you need to see at a certain level?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at Jahi for us, assists are going to be very important because he has the ball in his hands so much. He has the ability to create a second defender and have him have to help. He's got to make his teammates better by helping to create good shots for them. And so I think we're going to look to his assist total very much.
Herb Sendek opens up a week from Friday, UMBC on campus. Jordan Baczynski, where is he at now from a year ago that you're pleased with?
Well, I think most significantly, he's in a really good place with his confidence. I think for the first time, maybe he sees himself as a future NBA player. He sees himself in a very positive light, given the progress he's made and some of the success he's enjoyed. The other thing is, I think he's much more sturdy than he was a year ago. He is stronger physically, which obviously is a big part of his continued development.
That's Herb Sendek with us here for a couple of minutes. Coach, appreciate the time. As always, let you go off that. Before we get out of here for this the segment, so there's a scandal going on involving two high school teams. High school teams in New Orleans, but I think this is that cheating in high school football via the internet now. This is coming out of Louisiana. The scandal involves Huddle. I don't know if you guys have heard about this website, Huddle. It's H-U-D-L. It's a website that houses game film, practice film, schemes, playbooks for football teams. I've heard about Huddle before, and people rave about Huddle. This is one of those deals where technology and being innovative, it takes over. It appears, though, that a South LaForche player, and I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, Destrand's staff got hold of South LaForche's username and password. Destrehan is a 5-0 in District 7-5A, more than doubled up its league opponent, South LaForche. So the guys over at Destrehan got a hold of the password and the username. They spent about 12 hours, evidently, on the site. Were able to go in there and look at the playbook, look at the schemes, look at the practice film, look at the game film. You know, we're in a day and age of Big Brother, and we think that no one is there watching what we're doing or listening to what we're doing. But now, why would you upload your playbook? Is it for the kids to go home? Obviously, it would be for the kids to go home and study at home. Hey, Dad, here's what I'm doing. Here's the playbook. What do you think? So you knew it was just a matter of time before somebody would say, well, the coach isn't playing my kid enough, or whatever reason may be. But let me give the opposition the username and password.
Too much technology.
Too much technology.
That's all it is.
And Huddle's everywhere. I've had people that have told me, assistant coaches here in Arizona, that Huddle is one of the greatest tools that is out there. Good little story on that front. Also, so in Flagstaff, you know, the Cardinals left. And with the Cardinals leaving, everybody said that Flagstaff would get hammered. Well, Cardinals didn't hold their training camp in Flagstaff this summer for the first time since 2005. Guess what? Sales tax revenues from restaurants and bars for July and August were up 5.3% over the same 2 months in 2012. For August alone, when much of the camp was held, restaurant and bar spending was up 11%.
It's fascinating.
Without the Cardinals. Now, I'm going to talk more about this, but there's more to life than just football. I can explain that. Brad Sussman, Sports360AZ.com.